Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Tesla deliveries race past expectations. And with EV demand on the rise, countries turn to resource nationalism, holding on to critical minerals to guarantee their share of the green transition.
Anything that makes it more difficult to get this out and process it in the most efficient ways is going to be a handicap for a clean energy transition, because ultimately it could lead to shortages, which will drive up prices of minerals, which will drive up prices of EVs, which are going to make people less likely to buy them.
Plus, can recent stock listings restart the sluggish IPO market? It's Monday, July 3rd. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Ahead of the July 4th holiday, United Airlines is planning changes to avoid a repeat of a nearly week-long stretch of disruptions that resulted in thousands of flight cancellations. Several airlines were affected by severe storms that walloped New York last week, with United scrubbing more flights than its rivals and taking longer to bounce back. United's CEO told employees that the airline plans to reduce flights from its Newark hub and that it's working to acquire additional gates to prevent backups. And he said the airline is working with the Federal Aviation Administration to better balance departures and arrivals at the airport. As for ground travel, AAA is forecasting a record 43.2 million Americans will travel by car for the holiday, about 4% more than the previous all-time high in 2019. Fueling that demand? Lower gas prices. According to Gas Buddy, the price of a gallon of gas is down about 30% from a record of just over $5 set last June. Analysts say oil prices are down amid concerns that a global recession will hurt demand. From gas to EVs, carmaker Tesla says that its global deliveries surged by 83% last quarter, helped by hefty price cuts and discounts. The starting prices for the company's U.S. lineup have fallen between 14 and 28% since January, according to a journal review of the changes on Tesla's website. Our markets reporter Anna Hertenstein has more.
Tesla really regained momentum in the last quarter. And to boost demand, we saw outright price cuts, also things like discounts and freebies. Tesla is continuing to add factories around the world. It opened one in Texas last year. There's another one in Germany. So with this added output, it needs to keep its sales rising to avoid an inventory buildup. So it's a test of Elon Musk's strategy that the company is sacrificing a near-term profitability in pursuit of bigger growth in the future. And Tesla is still the world's top seller of EVs. So some do see this as a rosy picture for the broader industry. But at the same time, Tesla is under pressure to prove that it can keep winning over buyers as more of its competitors roll out their own EV offerings.
Other car companies are expected to release their second quarter sales later this week. Meanwhile, developing nations rich in minerals are demanding a bigger piece of the EV pie. Countries from Latin America to Africa and Asia know that the world increasingly needs their nickel, lithium, cobalt, and other minerals to power the green transition, and they're embracing what's sometimes described as resource nationalism. And Journal reporter John Emont joins me now with a look at what those strategies entail. John, you're in Singapore. I'm curious what you're seeing in your region, but also what your colleagues Juan Ferrero in Bogota and Alexander Wexler in Johannesburg have been observing as well. What does this resource nationalism look like at the country level?
Yeah, so I'll start with my region. Indonesia's a very fascinating case of this. It's this huge country with a lot of minerals that are needed for the EV transition, namely nickel, which is just a key ingredient for electric vehicle batteries. So starting in 2020, the government actually banned the export of raw nickel as a way to encourage foreign companies to set up smelters and other processing facilities in country. And that's been enormously successful in that they really have gotten a lot of this smelting in country, which has allowed them to export a lot more higher value already processed nickel. And Indonesia hopes that this is just part of a broader process where they will continue to industrialize and eventually start building batteries and electric vehicles themselves. And as you pointed out, there are many other countries adopting different policies around the world. So Zimbabwe, which has a lot of lithium resources, has actually attempted similar and recently banned the export of raw lithium. Guinea in West Africa has also encouraged miners to build smelters locally and has set up a minimum price for selling bauxite to make sure that the government is getting more money out of the bauxite that's being exported out of the country. In Latin America, there are a lot of leftist leaders that are also trying to make sure that they get the most out of their lithium reserves, and that involves strategies that are similar to nationalization or that involve making sure that state-owned miners play a larger role in the extraction of these resources.
And John, I'm curious what economists and others that you spoke to are saying about the effect that these policies are likely to have on markets.
Yeah. So the general feeling is that the world needs a lot more of these critical minerals. That's clear. So according to the International Energy Agency, a electric vehicle requires 6 times the amount of critical minerals as a ordinary car. So just a lot more of this stuff needs to get mined. And so anything that makes it more difficult to get this out and process it in the most efficient ways is going to be a handicap for a clean energy transition, because ultimately it could lead to shortages, which will drive up prices of minerals, which will drive up prices of EVs, which are going to make people less likely to buy them. So that's clearly a challenge and definitely one concern that economists raise. That's a possibility. One alternative argument is that in some cases, like in Indonesia's case, the policy basically worked as intended because Indonesia has so much nickel and there's so much demand for this nickel. The foreign companies complied, and now Indonesia is exporting a lot of processed nickel. Another argument is that these mines, they're quite environmentally destructive in many cases. They can displace villages. And so it's inevitable that people in these countries are going to want to understand how they're actually benefiting from these mines in their backyard. And given that so much more of this stuff needs to get mined, if countries are putting in place relatively stable policies that say, like, here are the new rules, we want more, but the state miner is going to be involved, that it sort of establish a clear protocol for this, then maybe that will keep the locals happy, that will keep these processes moving forward, and it will actually, over the long term, create a stable environment that will make it easier to extract these resources. You know, as opposed to if locals feel exploited by all these foreign miners.
That was Journal reporter John Emont in Singapore. John, thank you so much for the update.
All right, thank you.
Coming up, what a slate of recent stock listings tell us about the health of the IPO market. That and more after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is heading to China. Her visit, confirmed over the weekend, is scheduled to begin on Thursday, and it comes as tensions over trade, technology, and Taiwan have prompted Beijing and Washington to reconsider their longstanding ties. Our Beijing bureau chief, Jonathan Cheng, told me what to expect.
The trip's notable because it does come shortly after Antony Blinken, the Secretary of State, was just coming through Beijing. Officially, we're going to see Janet Yellen talk to her counterparts about issues like the macroeconomic situation around the world, like developing world debt, climate change, issues like that. But the main thing is perhaps what's not on the agenda, but what's floating around in the air, which is U.S.-China tensions more broadly, all this talk in the U.S. of decoupling or de-risking from China's economy, sanctions and tariffs, and the balance for Yellen will be to be in line with the broader administration message that the U.S. needs to think more carefully about its relationship with China without alienating her hosts, while sending a message that they do still want to do business with China. And it's her view that it's critical for the U.S. and China to have a stable relationship, for them to be communicating, and for trade to continue to happen.
A slate of new stock listings is serving as a test of whether the lackluster IPO market is ready to bounce back. Our equity capital markets reporter Corey Driebusch has been tracking a handful of initial public offerings over the past month, and she joins me now with a look ahead. Corey, what signs are we getting from IPO markets?
So it's been pretty dormant in the IPO market over the past 18 months, but last month, we saw one of the most buzzy IPOs in recent memory with Mediterranean restaurant chain Cava Group going, and the stock priced well above expectations, and then the shares almost doubled in the first day of trading, which a lot of bankers and fund managers and traders that I talked to, we all laughed about how that was more reminiscent of the boom days of 2020, 2021. Not the very slow market we've seen over the last year and a half. Last week, we saw that IPO success tested again with a trio of companies going public. And that was more mixed results, which is just a reminder that despite maybe we've seen a couple breakout deals, this new issue market is still in recovery mode. One other issue that's maybe working against the IPO market right now, it's just poor performance of past IPOs. The class of 2020 IPOs are down more than 30% on average from their IPO prices. The class of 2021 IPOs is down more than 40% on average. And last year's IPOs are off almost 50%. So no one wants to buy into a market where prior companies who have gone are doing so poorly.
And so what's the outlook here then? Do we have more IPOs coming up?
We've seen, as I said, with Cava and some others, there have been some good performances of IPOs. And we've seen some filings that are saying that other IPOs might be coming soon, like a beauty and technology company, Oddity, is planning to launch its IPO as early as July, according to people I've spoken with. And British chip designer Arm is aiming for a September debut. From folks I speak with, the fact that anyone is coming to market right now and that there's investors who are willing to buy IPOs is a positive. And people I speak with say they're willing to grasp onto any signs of success at the moment.
That was Journal Equity Capital Markets reporter Corey Driebusch. Corey, thanks.
Thank you so much for having me on, Luke.
And finally, Wall Street regulators have a new target, emojis. The colorful, seemingly harmless icons have become popular with retail investors who tend to rely more on social media to trade investment advice. But when employees at financial institutions use them in business communications, that can cause headaches for the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. The head of FINRA has floated the idea of having companies better monitor how their workers use emojis in off-channel communications like texts and social media, though our reporter Munchie Sun says that could prove challenging.
There are currently more than 3,600 emojis available just on Apple's iPhones. And obviously, emojis can mean very different things for different people in different generations and different cultures. For example, a smiley face can mean happy or telling someone they did a great job, or could be seen as patronizing or passive aggressive. So a lot of times, firms still have to basically pull out the messages that include emojis and give a call to the employees that send the messages to really understand what they meant by that. So the Wall Street regulators are basically pointing out that if you're allowing your employees to use texting for business, you should also have a way to really understand the texting lexicon.
And that's What's News for Monday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Enter a revolutionary business world where AI meets power with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro. Imagine PCs that boost productivity, creativity, and collaboration with cutting-edge AI. They're gateways to innovation, engineered with powerful AI performance, hardware-based security, and AI-powered threat detection. Plus, they're built sustainably and can be managed remotely. Transform your workflow with Intel Core Ultra and Intel vPro today. No product can be absolutely secure. Become an IT hero at intel.com/ITHeroes.